This is Critical Nonsense, our high lowbrow show about culture, science, and tech. This week, I ask everyone about cringe aversion.
Woo! Hush, hush, darling.
This is what a Joey sounds like.
Hush, 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 hush. This is what an Aaron sounds like. But also, Pussycat Dolls? I don't know. I don't want to. Okay, anyway.
This is what an executive producer and ska band member Jess Vander sounds like.
Hi, this is Jess.
She ain't got no Santeria, not today. Mm-mm.
Nope. Mm-mm. She's just skanking around. Also, that's what the dance move that ska bands were doing, not the... Sorry, I realized said it that could be interpreted the wrong way.
Joey.
Yeah.
So, that's what they
called the like leg swinging dance move, I believe, was called skanking.
It. Indeed.
Yeah, luckily we love contextualizing on this show.
We're
and
really
also
yes.
corrections departmenting ourselves when we say something that we immediately regret.
Yes.
Well, it was just like, oh, that's what it was called. And then I was like, that word could be very misinterpreted.
Smart.
If you are unaware of random ska dance moves from 1997.
Very important. Very important.
Speaking of things to be taken in another context only by you, Joey, we got some feedback about our teaching agency episode.
Oh, okay.
And also an additional approval from our very own Trevor Larry about Scandinavian swimmers, which he explains are incredible for their soft, smooth texture. They are named appropriately, and they are superior to the Swedish fish title caps.
Mm. The important correction. Scandinavian swimmers are, Aaron, you may not have any context, so I don't,
and I was sitting here, similarly, Scandinavian swimmers, I was like, we're talking about, like, athletes? Because this is really smooth skin, and then you started getting more specific, and I was like, okay, these are not people, got it, okay.
Cool. These are candy.
These are the Swedish fish knockoff.
A Trader Joe's delicacy.
Indeed. Indeed. Oh, good for Mr. Joe. He does interesting things.
For him.
Clearly, his first name is not Joe in this scenario. He's Mr. Joe. This is interesting. Yeah.
I do find myself calling adults like Mr. or Mrs. adult name to Emerson sometimes. And I'm like, this is so Southern. I didn't grow up with this, but it's like a nice thing. Anyways, that's all.
Love it.
Jessica. That's how my little sister used to say it to my sister, Jessica. What do you have for us today?
I'd like to talk about cringe. right on cue.
Mm-hmm.
The meta cringe. And this idea came up at some point in the last couple of weeks when I think even Joey or I or some combination of us was having a conversation and it came up yet again in the three of our monthly chats about what holds us back from trying new things or trying things. And I couldn't help but think about this idea of cringe aversion, this like strangely temporal phenomenon that maybe has a real name, but I'm making this one up, where you can imagine your future self cringing at your past self over doing blank and therefore not doing it. I think the most prime example that came to mind for me was when someone was talking about a new social media, and I could relate to, you know, back when like Facebook first launch, where someone was like, yeah, I definitely cannot trust myself to post anything on this social media because I know that I will regret whatever I do in several years' time when I look back and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I put that out there in the world. And I think it's such an interesting concept now that our lived experience is so traceable and so public and permanent in our digital footprint that it is so much easier to consider your past self in the present as a stakeholder in your actions. And at the same time, it also got me wondering about what it holds us back from, because what if we're afraid to try things out of the fear of future cringe? So I guess what I want to ask you is, what's up? Are we, nope, that's not a real question. What are we, are we, why? Why? When?
Whoa, that she's just, are you just demonstrating cringe? Is that, is that the question?
Wait, no, please roll it back.
Don't. Keep it in. Keep it in.
Jess's wheels never fall off. I love this. Oh, it's good.
What happens if we are all deathly afraid of the cringe?
Man, okay, so I'm going to be honest. Like, everybody hates cringe, but it's, okay, let me use my words, because they're running away from me really, really quickly. There are many things that we know provide negative feedback to human beings. I think about it just in general about pain, right? But pain is a useful thing evolutionarily. It tells us when our body is being challenged, and it's just a form of feedback to tell us to do something different. And so in that same vein, cringe is like psychological pain. I mean, it is psychological pain, or a form of it, perhaps. And I think that that's a good thing. And as a result, I like to give cringe. I welcome cringe. Cringe keeps me in line, because it is an internalization of not just like, it's an internalization of your reaction to social norms. And so if I can sort of like preemptively cringe myself, I will stop from making those same mistakes in the future. And the fact that I may have done cringeworthy things that, you know, I center myself in all of this and in all things always. But when I think about the past things that made me cringe, like, that's just a cost of living. Like, you can't live without physical pain. You can't live without a little cringe pain. So like, I welcome our cringe overlords. It will teach us to maybe be just a little bit better than we could be.
I mean, I think it's interesting that you're taking, because I hadn't considered taking it in like the sort of like operant conditioning realm of like, cringe is good because you're learning not to do a thing that you shouldn't do. Like, by the way, dummy, don't do that. But like, there is sort of like the version of cringe where you have like the yips, where you're too sensitive to the potential for pain of being like, and it probably comes down to, are you avoiding a thing that you directly did or experienced and you know will result in that thing, versus like, are you tilting at windmills of like inventing a scenario that you've never actually experienced yourself in an effort to avoid it, right? Like, and some of that comes down, you know, in the same way that people have different levels of like pain sensitivity. Like, I looked it up while we were talking, like, shame results in, is like in some ways integrated from like a cortical perspective into your pain matrix. It's not like physical pain, but like it's basically like psychological pain. And so like, you know, having the yips of like, you get punched once, you don't want to get punched again, hard to get back in the ring. But like, where's the balance? Like, what's the right amount of yips?
I mean, another part of that that's interesting, and I guess the way that we've been talking about it so far has been like self-reflective cringe, you know? And I guess that like secondary cringe where you like see somebody do something and you're like, oh, it's like the mirror neurons of cringe go off.
The Schadenfreude?
Yes, the Schadenfreude. And you're like, your immediate reaction is, and then you're like, and it just becomes a Fail Army video in your brain. Okay, maybe that's just me. Sorry for that laugh. That's my Fail Army laugh.
No, but this is absolutely part of it, because not only do you have to consider like the first valence of cringe, but people are also cringe averse to the second ring of like, and now that it's out there, whatever I've done is now other people's judgment is now going to be piled onto that. So even if I'm okay, what if other people don't think that that was okay? And now all of a sudden, it's not even just about like, you know, positive self-talk. It's like, I have to be really, back to some conversations we've had recently, resilient to be able to withstand whatever that brings.
Yeah. I put your question that you asked at the beginning just because, like, we need a word for it. And I was like, into Gemini, I was just like, is there a perfect word that captures your future self cringing at your past self behavior? And there's this word in German, Fremdschamen, that literally translates to secondhand shame and describing the feeling of embarrassment by someone else's action, which can apply to your past self. So you see someone do something dumb and you're like, you should be ashamed of that. And you're like, wait. I did that.
Yes.
So actually, because you opened the Gemini door, I'm going to open an Apple door. We opened a Google door. Let me open an Apple door real quick. Because for some reason, this idea of like cringe and looking back on cringy things is a reason why I can't get an Apple Vision Pro. And I'll explain briefly, but there's an app that's built in that I guess it's going to be some, I've been in the Google world for so long that I don't even know what all these products are. I won't lie. But essentially it's like a souped up version of Photos, where like there are certain types of photos that can become immersive experiences that you can go back and relive. So, you know, in many ways, it's just a souped up video, more so than a souped up photo, but you feel like you're back in that place again. And my immediate reaction when I heard about this product being launched, like that app within it being launched, was absolutely not. And it's because the two things that came to mind were like, there are certain things that like I want to just keep in the past. Like I think it would drop so many emotions that it would be incredibly overwhelming. And I feel like I would need like a therapist guiding me through experiencing those things again, just because like there would be people there that aren't there anymore. There are all sorts of things that start to just be too much. But then the other one that's a lot more lighthearted, but equally as horrifying, is like, I'm just imagining some of the videos that I took in college and being able to relive those moments. And holy shit, do I not want to relive those. Like, so cringy. Everything from just like early 2000s cool gay going out wear. Oh my God, I had so many words on my clothes. I just wore formal things with informal things all the time. Like, ooh, let me throw on a suit jacket and a tie and jeans. And ooh, it's edgy. And let me throw a hoodie on it, because that
Uncle
makes sense.
Aaron, who's Edward Hardy?
Oh my God. Just take the to Vegas now. Christian Odigier is waiting for you.
So this is exactly why I brought up the notion of time at the beginning of this, and also history, right? Like, so much of this is sort of intrinsically tied to our relationship with history via technology and the record keeping that exists of our past and how much better it is now. And it reminded me also of, like, you know, the saying of like, leave the past in the past, focus on the future. Like, it's so much easier to think about learning and the optimism and excitement when you are facing forward if you have an easier time avoiding, or like there's less being thrust at you to inspire you to dwell on the past. But if there's a ton of that, then of course it's going to be so much easier to keep thinking about that and wondering if you should have done it differently, when there is probably I mean, there are adages about the healthiness of just not thinking too hard about what happened before, yeah. Right?
So true. So, like, there, as much as I tend to believe that, like, one can learn, one should always be seeking out opportunities to learn, and that learning comes in small packages, like, you can learn from anything, there are dogs that should be left to lie. Like, there are things that need to remain in the past, and you need to forget just so that you don't need to go there again. And, like, if it happens again, okay, great, but, like, maybe not. Then again, maybe not.
I mean, what if it's good? What if it's good to feel that? I mean, you kind of said this in the beginning, right, Aaron? Like, not, mm-hmm. like, it's part of, like, the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you also, at some point, in my head, I'm connecting you to saying this, Aaron. You tell me if you did it. Like, I feel like the humility button of being like, oh, yeah, like, I thought I was so cool, I wasn't, right? Or I I've revisited a few. There are a handful of things that give me this like aggressive, like retroactive shame. And sometimes I share those things that I know exist and I have evidence with like younger folks on the team to be like, don't feel bad. Like I did worse, or I like did a thing that's similar or something like that. And I like sent this email, I was maybe like 23, 24 to like a website I really wanted to write for. And somehow in like a response, like they were like, we don't want people to like waste a lot of time. Just send like a pitch and here's how to do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not worried about like getting money. I have a job and whatever. And the person responded like, oh, you have a job? Who am I talking to? The king of Belgium? Like, and it was like this very like acerbic, witty writer who I won't name, but is like a very known quantity. And I just was like so dragged down, like curl out of my chair, like onto the ground. Like, and I can revisit it and feel all of it again. So anytime I get like high on the hog, I'm like, nope, hey, remember Dum Dum when you did that one? And I immediately am just like, bleh.
Like, stay humble.
It's interesting, because like this humility button, the idea of staying humble, you know, it's tough. I feel like pain hurts, cringe hurts, but it's like, what's the utility of cringe? And the utility of cringe is exactly that. Like, it can remind you how to stay humble. Like, you know, remember that you're not Mr. You're not the king of Belgium. Remember that you also like always are susceptible. You're always, anything that you say or do is susceptible to being cringy through the lens of history.
Mm-hmm.
Like you may not even realize. I think that we watch this happen, I think, with in media all the time. Like, I think over the past few years, I've been seeing a lot of folks revisit 90s content and really getting in on like the, why did we think this was funny? Why did we let this stuff get produced? This would never get made nowadays. And like, yes, that's less cringe and more offensive, but they sit in the same sort of like spectrum of pain in this way. And I think that in the moment, we can all just sort of appreciate that, like, we know nothing. Allow ourselves to know nothing. Be kind to yourself now and the you that you once were, because you just didn't know. And guess what? Nobody knows. So just,
yeah.
Why don't you just choose to be kind? Why don't you choose to give yourself grace and give others grace? And that's a good thing that cringe can give to us.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And your whole, any moment is in a deeper context. And when you're revisiting it, you're not revisiting the entire context, right? Like, no. So.
Boom.
Yes.
Boom.
Boom. Oh, man. I mean, I will say, though, all this being said, I haven't done anything cringy since I was 15 years old. So, oh, no, I said college. Damn it. I haven't done anything cringy since I was 21 years old. So, yeah, I think I'm fine. There's nothing that I look back on in the past 3 months and I'm like, ooh, that one's already feel a little awkward. Because I'm perfect. I just
today
to
or this morning. I haven't done anything cringy since this morning. So
yeah, yeah. Hey,
It has been 0 days since.
Yeah,
you
like there needs to be the countdown. Yes, yes, we need it. I don't know. Is it time? Is it a time to cringe slough our way into Justice McQuarter?
Cringe slough.
Yeah, cringe slough is really bad.
It has been 0 days.
It's been 0 days. 0 days.
In the wisdom of legend Michael Jordan, he never lost a game. He either won or learned. And I think there is a lot that we can take from this in our relationship with cringe. And maybe just, you know, learn a thing.
Yeah. Don't lose. Learn.
Yeah. Duh.
Duh. Wow. Thanks, Michael. Anyways. Critical Nonsense is a Sylvain production.
Brought to you by... Ooh. Why did I do that?
As always, we'd like to thank our executive producer and Jess Vander.
You're welcome. We'd also like to thank sound engineer and the utility of this show, Alex Gontel. Oh my gosh. Everything here should be the most worst.
We'd like to thank executive programming coordinator Les Jacobs, a man who I know has never cringed a day in his life.
And thanks to our production crew and the Never Yips, a new band. Sorry, Gilbert and Norm Esters. Have I made this like the worst that we've ever done?
As always, thanks, Alin.
Thanks, Alin.
Special thanks to fumbling.
Michael Jordan? Bowling, did you just say?
I said fumbling.
Yeah, but also...
Sometimes your brain's going faster than your lips. Or sometimes your lips are going faster than your brain. You know, it's all right.
You're right.
We've been there.
Done that.
I want to make sure.
Well, we'll regret this episode. That's what. Which one don't I?
Alex, can we cut out Jess's attempt at the question and just save it for posterity on a soundboard? Thanks to that soundboard that we're gonna create in the future. What is why, how, when? Where?
What?
Thank you, Jess, for making me laugh on this Friday. Well,
same.
Love you, mean it. Bye.
Okay, bye. Are we? Nope, that's not a real question. What are we? Are we? Why? Why? When?